This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
Welcome back to the Team Builders Podcast. My name is Jonathan, and along with my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen, this podcast explores excellence and high performance in teams and the way in which team building and engagement can positively impact on that pursuit. We bring over 20 years of team building experience, delivering hundreds of corporate team engagements every year across the UK and beyond. If you're looking for practical insights and inspiration to help you build a stronger team, you've come to the right place.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley, and Jonathan Haseley.
You're listening to the Team Builders Podcast. We bring over 20 years of team building experience, delivering hundreds of corporate engagement events every year across the UK and beyond. If you're looking for practical insight and inspiration to help build stronger teams, you're in the right place. My name's Jonathan, and I'm joined today by my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen. How are you both, gentlemen?
Yeah, in good shape this morning, Jonathan. I'm still off my carb loading, so looking good, and still haven't tried Pilates yet. Although, you know, I'm one step closer. I actually called up and made a small inquiry. So I like to think I was going to maybe do some practice in the house, but I was told not to bother with that because it's all changed now.
One more stop, leotard shopping, and then you're in good shape.
Thanks, mate. I think I look good in that.
Yeah, for sure. Stephen, how are you?
Jonathan, good shape today, as Jerry said, as well. I'm looking forward to sharing some tips on event management, even if they are just PG tips.
Love it. Okay, so gents, in this episode, I was keen to talk about how team building and team engagement sessions, how they really reflect on the real world working environment, and particularly how we go about designing gamified and experiential learning products that can really reflect on, you know, real world and real business environment. I think that's the key thing whenever a lot of organizations look to work with us. How can we reflect this back into the workplace with the learnings? What do high performing teams reveal about themselves in those moments when we work with them? And, you know, how can leaders use those insights from team building and team engagement sessions to better support their team back in the workplace? I got a few questions that I've noted down already and hope that it will bring about some more discussion.
Feeling the pressure.
Yeah, pressure's on. I'll try to go easy with the early ones. Jerry, I'll start with you if you don't mind. What do you notice first when you observe a team in a shared team building challenge? What's the first kind of thing that you notice about when we get stuck in?
Sometimes panic, you know.
Yeah, probably.
What am I doing here? What's going to be? Some people say, oh, is it force fun? But then once they actually take a moment to settle, it's good. But my first notice, joking aside, would be their personality. I tried to identify the personality of the people that are in the team and what their impact could have. And I tried to identify somebody that I could connect with early to help them push the team a wee bit forward. But people tend to just be shocked and go, oh, somebody else is going to do it. Or what do we do? Or how do we start? And the main reason is that the people have been not handpicked for this. They're just where they sit, it's where they sit. So when you're in a team, it's pretty much the team is picked for the purpose. So it brings me back to Foreman, Norman, Storman, you know. So that's what I look for first. I look for how I can help or how can I coach them into a quick win, quick start, and not make life too difficult at the beginning. Let them ease into it. So I probably would give them a little help, a little clue. Have you thought of this? Did you see that? I think this person here has written down some good stuff. Come over here and see that. And then I actively get them to move their bodies. Yeah. So stand up, come over here, get around these people and things like that. So I think that's little tips that I observe quickly when I see a team that's perhaps stagnated a small bit after initial few minutes.
And Stephen, just to talk to that, do you recognise mostly, if you were to generalise whenever we deliver these sessions, do teams tend to struggle early or do they tend to thrive early? Or is it like a journey of growth throughout the entire thing? What do you notice in those early stages?
I think it depends on how it's been framed to them, whether it's a fun day or whether it's a team building day. Some people fold their arms quite negatively at the team building. What good is that to me? And yet, as it plays out, they actually enjoy it and get engaged with it and let themselves be a bit freer than thinking, oh, someone's going to make or try and force me to do something I don't want to do. So I think the first welcome when we meet people is just to put them at ease, you know, meet and greet them, say hello, introduce it, as Jerry says, gently to them, and then let them go and let them make some failures at the start, which is great, so they can learn from that and really make it their day. And we always play the events and the activities and the engagement processes so it's right for them. Some are massively competitive, some aren't. Some are very collaborative. Some find it difficult to step up and make decisions. Some people find it very easy. And again, just try and incorporate everybody's voice into that situation so that, yeah, they are definitely involved with how the game and how the activity and how the engagement process plays out on the day.
And there's probably a first, you know, thought or the link between how a team engagement session, you know, gives you a window into real team dynamics is that normally when teams are thrust together early, it is a bit difficult, and yep. they don't know what they're doing, and as you said, Jerry, maybe a bit of panic, and they have to go through those stages. When is it that we start to see the performance tick over, and how do you recognise maybe let's go away from when they're not doing so well to whenever they start to click in? And, you know, that happens pretty quickly in our sessions, but again, it's about how that reflects into the real team environment and the real team dynamics that they go back to their business in.
You can spot it in the busyness of the station, if you like, yeah. depending on what their experience that they're involved in. I'm trying to think, even this, the more brain work, it is an active visual that you see. People are up, people are buzzing, people are trying to move things around. And there's always a reflective person, I would say, in about at least 60% of the teams in there, sitting quietly contemplating what their move is and how they can contribute to the experience that's going on around them. And I quite like that. So often I will engage with that person and say, are you looking after this here? You got, and they will quite often say, yeah, the team is out getting some more information for us, and I'm here putting it all together. So generally too, let's be fair, what we challenge them with is engaging from the off. So
yes,
90% of the people in the room after that initial what's happening, you often get asked the question, oh, I still don't know what's happening. And it's only 5 minutes in. So of course, not everybody knows, you know, what's going on or what's the objective. And the right thing for us to do is to clarify the objective from, like, the final thing you need to do is this, rather than say, go find out yourself. Because that's when you get more disengagement. And that's real life business in your team. If your team member comes to you and says, I don't know what our objective is in business here, or I don't know what our team's objective is, if you just go back and just sort that out, or go photocopy that or do this, that's where you lose them in your team, and you lose all of their ability that they are employed to offer that company, that team, or you. It all goes out the window. So you should coach them into it, give them the objective, help them see, practically put something into their hands. That's one of Stephen's great tricks. They just pick something up and say, here, have a look at that, see, can you fix that? And that just ignites them, starts to work. So that's how I approach that situation.
And Stephen, you often, conversely to that, you recognise the teams that are high-performing very quickly. Something, a game like, let's say, for instance, Infinite Loop, one of our virtual reality experiences, you can very quickly see that that can be a daunting task for some teams, but many times when we deliver that, you notice the teams that pick it up quickly and that will thrive quickly.
I think there's always going to be a why. Why are we doing this? And I think that the events and the kit especially that we deliver looks wow factor. It's not just saying, let's build a bridge out of spaghetti to see who could build the best bridge out of spaghetti. Yeah. So there's a learning process in there. And again, the time and effort and money we've invested into these specific team building tasks, the wow factor is that looks engaging, looks fun. I've never done this before. And the jeopardy is, if we don't do it well together as a team, we're going to lose. And nobody wants to lose. Yeah, there's a winning trophy, which is great. But I feel inspired more by the people who say, yeah, we've really got to do this. So we come across as the best that we can be. And that jeopardy, as the clock ticks down, really makes people focus and engage to try and find a solution, whatever the challenge may be. Virtual reality is a great example of they're working together, both in the virtual world and the real world, to find solutions.
And what tends to separate the best teams from the nearly teams in an event like Infinite Loop or, let's say, Red Alert, for example?
I think make mistakes early and move on from it.
Make a mistake.
Don't make the same mistake twice. That's not clever. But make a mistake. Test this. And good communication. And I do find the teams who communicate best around the table or whatever the structure is get success, because they get quick and easy wins. They measure that and they're able to move on from that quickly rather than pontificate, shall we do this? Shall we do that? That never plays out well, either in that event space or in real world.
Yeah, that's what reflects back, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Jerry, listen, you know, a number of our experiences, gamified experiences, they focus not just on collaboration within your own little silo or team, but collaboration across the entire department or organisation. Yeah. I'm thinking something like The Big Picture or Beat the Box or City Build, one of our most popular, newest experiences. What do you tend to notice about the teams in something like City Build that really support each other and lift each other up out with their own little group? You know, they spread that across the whole day and the whole business.
Well, you'd be shocked to hear, because people don't believe it.
Yeah.
People are like, no, this is my team, you know. And because in City Build, for those that maybe not know, you have to build houses, businesses, vehicles, and create your real life dream city. And, you know, all of us have been on them, and people have gone, but I build that. And you're like, listen, it's for everybody. And the latest idea we've had just to kick people off is we have a communal table where you can build something and put it on the table for somebody else.
Just
to get them, because you'd hear it all the time on business podcasts too. The biggest barrier for business success is that the businesses runs in departments,
yep,
and not in a business, and departments become competitive with one another, and that's just, you know, destructive. But when it reaches that fine point, it's
great. You need the holistic approach rather than
So when we say to them, you're going to be doing all this together, they're like, they're waiting for the gumshot of like, who's going to be left out in the cold? You know, where's the trick all of a sudden?
Yeah.
But then, like we mentioned previous, after about 30 minutes, everybody then realizes, well, actually, this is something I've never done before, helping everybody. And they start moving around, start building houses for each other. They start, possessiveness no longer matters. And we help negate that by a big screen approach, so everybody can see the city, how it's building, how it's going ahead. So I think that's how it generally rolls. They're wonderful to do. We do another one, which ultimately collaboration at the core to win. Everyone must work together. However, it's set up in a competitive environment, which is like true business and like true departments. If you don't make this, they can't have that. If you don't. So that's a different eye-opener.
Yeah.
And that's a different, like...
Where they have to shift their mindset.
Yeah, it's a different takeaway at the end. Isn't a different conversation. So people, like I think Steve mentioned, are skeptical at the start. But once they trust, I think that's a big thing, once they trust us and the experience that they're in is delivering exactly what they expected to, you get more from them, more effort.
And how, Stephen, do you think in those experiences do leaders, you know, spot strengths of their team, maybe challenges that their team are having? And again, you know, often when we see that within the game environment, does that reflect into their business environment? Or how can they take those learnings and make sure that we step away from the siloed approach and step towards the holistic approach and the one team, one vision approach? Do you think that there's a lot of emphasis that, you know, those businesses leaders place on those sessions?
Again, I think at the start there is nervousness and people think they're being judged. But when you start them off in their comfort zone, and I can't think, we've touched on there on City Build, I can't think of any company we've ever worked for who wouldn't be able to enjoy and employ their services into City Build. But it will be with tweaks. Some clients will say, oh, can we build hospitals? Yes, that's great. Some clients say, can we put tractors in there? Yes, no problem. Some people say, oh, can we put shops? Of course. So therefore, they're actually building something and something that they're going to be proud of, which has a collaborative environment and a lot of creativity. And they've actually got a product at the end of it, which, you know, get their photographs off, put on social media, whatever. But they're engaged in it because they're all contributing, sometimes small way, sometimes in a big way, but all together, and there's a finished product at the end of it all. And I really can't think of any sector that we've ever worked in over the past 25 years that wouldn't fit that bill, that would be a perfect event for them to experience.
Yeah, doing something together.
Yep. That's the key message.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, Stephen, maybe to stay with you, just because I know you play a lot of part in this, in the debrief sessions of some of our large-scale events like this, how much value can be created in the team taking some time to reflect on what they've just experienced and how we can knit that back into the working environment?
Yeah, whilst we introduce the event and we run the event, we always like to top and tail it with a debrief. What have you learned about yourself and your teammates? What have you learned today that will make you better in the workplace tomorrow? And what have you enjoyed that you can bring that small element of enjoyment back into the workplace tomorrow? And it's rarely about money or building a new car park or having a new photocopier. It's all about engagement, collaboration, talking the problem through and getting stuck in. And again, making mistakes in the early days so that you don't make the same mistakes as it goes on. And that's when the penny drops with the great people in the teams that are pushing the business forward and aren't afraid to take risks, makes a few small mistakes, but to move on from that so there's no paralysis by analysis. They roll their sleeves up and get stuck in.
And there are lots of those aha moments where people do see their colleagues in a different light, and they see that they can bring slightly different skills that they might not have seen before. Again, I think particularly for leaders, Jerry, you know, I'm sure you might reflect on some recent events that you've done where they've come to you at the end and gone, oh, I didn't realise that John was so, you know, this way inclined, or that Mary had all these ideas and, you know, maybe she's a little quieter, or maybe he doesn't get his opportunity to speak up more. I think that's a really nice piece that leaders can learn through being involved in that process and observing some of the way that their team interact in those environments. Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to point this out in front of everybody.
Yes.
No. Yeah. I think it's the quiet analysis and the quiet reflection, because once it's over, nobody really wants to talk about how each person performed. They want to talk about the team performance, you know. So, but a good leader spot these people, especially a lot of what we do involves resilience, and you can see those people that stick in, and conversely, so you see those that maybe bow out quick. Yeah. So you might be able to form different ideas of where those people can fit in your team and into your organization. And even I've seen quite a few people that even though it's finished, they still want to work on it.
Yes.
Yeah. And they still want to know, how did you do that? Yeah. Where did this come from? And then people are like coming up to you at the end going, show me, like, and it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're still committed. And to see those people in your business gives you an insight into what they can achieve for you.
Yes.
In the moment that you need that type of energy, yeah, that type of effort and that type of like resilience and grit, yeah, if you like. And equally so, you need people who can just drop something and go, that's not working. We need to move on. Stop getting hung up on it.
Yeah.
You know.
And there's been lots of sessions that we've delivered where in the weeks and months afterwards, you know, they have taken different approaches to how they engage with each other, how they communicate together, how they meet together, you know, both practical and on the more emotional level, if you will. And I think that that's really inspiring to see that organisations note things that happen in these team building sessions and understand that actually with a small change of how we communicate, or I think that big thing of that one team, one vision approach and realising that I don't have to wait for that department to be ready. I can go support that department to help them move the project forward. You know, we see a lot of that. And again, I think that's a big wow moment for a lot of these teams that we work with.
And, you know, if you just go for dinner as a team, you're only sitting beside two people.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody across the table, but really you're sitting with two people. When you do this type of experience, you have to roam the field. And, you know, you're involved. Obviously, it depends what you pick. But on the ones you've been talking about here, the collaborative ones, you have to talk and ask. Even if it's, can I have this? Can I have that? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? Where will I put this? Where will I put that? And then at the end going, look what we did. I didn't think this was possible, because you were just one team in that moment looking at what the goal could be, thinking, oh, mate, that's not going to happen in 2 hours.
Absolutely.
And also, I think we deliver the event with integrity, and always towards the back end of the event or at the end of the event, clients will say to us, whether they're in oil or gas or retail or pharmaceutical, is that the best you've ever seen?
Yeah,
and they always go close, but no cigar. Or sometimes they are. Yeah. Sometimes, my goodness, it's a team that you would never really anticipate because of their sector. You'd never anticipate them to be equally as good or better than someone who's maybe that sector is perfect for them, perhaps in construction or whatever it may be. And they absolutely blow it out of the water with integrity again. They don't cheat. And you go, my God, you know, that is absolutely phenomenal performance. And yeah, that's great. You know, on a leaderboard over 2 or 3 years of doing a particular event, to have someone knock it out of the ballpark, we rejoice in that. And they do as well. They know the top of the top.
Yeah, and the great thing about that in particular is, it's exactly what we're talking about here, that's reflective of their team dynamics, not their skill.
Yep.
You know, just because they're not engineers doesn't mean that they didn't build the best thing or whatever. And I think that's like a kind of really key part that I recognise, just as you mentioned there, Stephen, some of those people that, let's call it, surprise us with their result, really it's because they are high-performing teams. It's not about their skill level in what they're actually doing, you know.
Yeah, they threw themselves into it.
Exactly, yeah. So gents, team building, creating a window into real team dynamics, I think we've summed up that it definitely does, and there's opportunity to connect that as much or as little as you like. And a lot of the businesses that we work with, they really want us to lean into that element of delivering the key message from the gamified part back into their working environment, and something that a lot of those organisations take on and really enjoy.
100%.
Thanks so much for being here today, gents. I no doubt busy days ahead. Look forward to catch you all next time for the Team Builders podcast. If you're looking for more insights, ideas, and inspiration to help your team thrive, head over to our website. It's teamchallenge-company.co.uk, and you can check us out on social media, where we post lots of great leadership articles, and you can learn more about our thoughts and processes and that. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all next time on the Team Builders podcast. Thanks so much for listening to that episode of the Team Builders podcast. For more insights, ideas, and inspiration, head to teamchallenge-company.co.uk or follow us on social media. We would love to engage with you there. For everything else, we look forward to catching you again on the Team Builders podcast.